White House blames banks for problems in the housing market.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The White House is punishing three big banks for not doing enough to help struggling homeowners. Bank of America, JP Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo will lose millions of dollars from a federal mortgage modification program. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us live with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Amy, why are these banks being singled out by the White House?
Well, the Treasury Department looked at the 10 largest mortgage servicers participating in the mortgage modification program, and the department found problems with all of them, but said that four needed substantial improvement on things like finding people eligible for the program and communicating with them. Three of the banks, B of A, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo, got a combined $24 million from the program last month. That's an incentive to participate. The banks disputed the findings, and they won't get any more money until they make some changes.
And the success of these mortgage modifications programs have been questionable. A lot of analysts are saying now, as a result of this, I see that the banks may drop out of the programs altogether. What does that mean going forward as people try to fix the housing market?
Well, it could mean a very slow recovery. As of April, as it is, only about 600,000 homeowners had received a permanent modification through the program. The administration and consumer advocates had been hoping the program would help a lot more people. And there's really not a lot of political will right now to spend more money bailing out the market.
Marketplace's Amy Scott, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Well, a number of cities around the country will hold their Gay Pride events this weekend. And along with the events come lucrative corporate sponsorship opportunities. But as Sally Herships reports, this year, sponsors aren't just donating to Gay Pride, they're selling it.
Crate & Barrel's CB2 division has already sold out of the $20 poster it made for Gay Pride Month. Marta Calle is brand director of CB2.
Really, it's not driving any sales for us. We're selling 1,000 posters. That's not a lot of money based on the kind of volume that we usually drive.
Kaya says a lot of CB2's customers and workers are gay, and the company wanted to go beyond the typical sponsorship. So did Old Navy. The retailer is selling a new line of colorful T-shirts bearing the slogan, Love Proudly. Tim Calkins teaches marketing at Northwestern. He says retailers want to attract gay and lesbian customers.
It's an influential base. It's a group that spends. It's a wonderful group to reach out to.
And for brands, it's all about reaching out.
Because it does say you're inclusive and appreciative of diversity and willing to be open and welcoming.
But Calkin says as more brands align themselves with the gay community, it gets harder to stand out. And it takes new approaches, like selling T-shirts and posters. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed across the globe this morning, basically flat across Europe right now. But the U.S. Department of Agriculture says 2011 has been a bull market for maple syrup. Domestic production is up 43%, and Vermont is set to top 1 million gallons for the first time since the 1940s. On Wall Street yesterday, sweet justice for the Dow. After a six-day losing streak, it finished 75 points higher at 12,124.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
If you can believe it, the Japanese earthquake and tsunami happened 3 months ago tomorrow, and Toyota said this morning it now expects a 35% drop in its annual profit as a result of the disaster. Meanwhile, the cleanup goes on in the cities and towns that were devastated, as the BBC's Roland Burke reports.
The tsunami wave flattened much of this small town on the northeast coast of Japan. Amazingly, some houses are still standing. You can see from the tide mark that the wave reached above the height of a person's head, bringing with it tons of mud, which volunteers are clearing out with spades.
When I came here, I was shocked. I couldn't say anything when I first saw this scene.
Tetsuo Kimura works for GEN, Japan Emergency NGO, which is working to clean up thousands of houses it thinks could still be habitable.
The wreckage has been gathered up into huge piles. I'm standing next to one now. It's the same height as a 3- or 4-story building. A jumble of splintered wood, clothes, metal, someone's teddy bear over there. And it stretches 100 metres and more in both directions. The question now is what to do with it.
Hideyuki Katsumata's company runs Ishinomaki's garbage trucks. He's brought me to the dump that's been set up high in a valley just inland.
How much wreckage is there?
It's approximately 350,000 tons.
350,000 tons?
The tsunami has left Katsumata's team with the equivalent of an entire century's worth of household rubbish to clear, and they're struggling to find space for it in the landfills created for the debris.
We thought that was enough for 1 year, but we started before 1 month and a half, or now it's full.
So you filled up a place you thought would last for a year,
yes,
in a month and a half?
Yeah, yes.
New landfill sites will have to be found. The government is urging local authorities to sort the waste so as much as possible can be recycled. But clearing out these mountains of debris will take years. In Japan, I'm the BBC's Roland Burke for Marketplace.
And finally, to suburban Chicago, where 54-year-old Robert Adams was pretty hungry for a burrito on a visit to the Señor Taco restaurant earlier this week, but he didn't have any cash. So he got in line at the ATM, and while he was waiting, he noticed a clear plastic bag with $17,000 inside. Now, even though he probably could have upgraded to the fajitas at Señor Taco with all that cash, he turned the money in. He told the Daily Herald newspaper his parents didn't raise him to take cash that wasn't his. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Here's an idea to save the environment. Biking by any means necessary.
Even if she's wearing a beautiful Kate Spade dress and high-heeled shoes, she's still going to get on her bike and go across town because she loves adventure and loves exploring, and that's just her spirit.
Marketers are taking note. I'm Tess Vigeland, pimping the two-wheeled lifestyle. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.